Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week three of our series called Church is Messy. And remember, what we're doing is walking through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, a letter written to one of the messiest churches in the Bible to see not only how messy the church has been since the very beginning, but even more importantly, to see what Paul can still teach us today about doing church and doing it well in spite of our messiness. And yet, what I also want you to remember is Paul's wisdom, what he shares here, isn't just church wisdom. This is not just something that you have to use in the church. No, this is people wisdom, which you can use with your family, friends, or anywhere messy people gather to help you navigate the craziness of your own chaotic existence. And so, as you know, what we've been doing over the last 2 weeks is we basically watched as Paul took on the factions tearing the Corinthian church apart. It was those people who thought they were smarter and better and holier than everyone else. So first of all, he told them to basically get on the same page. You got to quit fighting, you got to get on the same page. You got to come up with a shared mission and start heading in the same direction. Then last week, he went even deeper, reminding them that church doesn't run on power plays or personal agendas. It runs on the upside-down wisdom of the cross, where greatness looks like humility and strength looks like service. And all because in God's kingdom, success isn't measured by how high you climb, but how low you're willing to go for the sake of others. Which brings us to today, where Paul moves from talking about how the church should function, what that looks like, to what kind of people we need to become for the church to flourish. Because the truth is, before the church can grow up, before the church can be what it is called to be, the people who make up the church have to grow up themselves. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 4. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Now, at first glance, what Paul says here, it sounds a bit harsh, right? Because let's be honest, he's basically calling them a bunch of spiritual crybabies. And yet what Paul's really doing here is he's not shaming them. He's trying to wake them up. He's saying, you've been stuck on spiritual milk far long enough. It's time to grow up. It's time to move from baby faith to grown-up faith. And all because their immaturity, their jealousy, their power struggles isn't just hurting the church. It's actually stunning their own spiritual lives. Or what Paul's doing here is he is challenging them to become the church they were meant to be, a community of mature Christians that reflect the life and love of Jesus to the world around them. And yet, to help you see the brilliance of this idea in a much, much bigger way, or in a way that might help you to better understand your own faith journey, now let me walk you through Paul's notion of spiritual development and what that has to teach us about how to do church and our lives better. So stage one of spiritual development is this. It's baby faith. When you're a baby, you depend completely on someone else to feed you, clean you, and keep you alive. Spiritually speaking, it's where it all begins. When we start following Jesus, we're brand new to this whole thing, so we need guidance, direction, and a whole lot of grace. And by the way, that's not a bad thing. It's actually beautiful. Every journey starts in this way. And even more than that, it's where we set the foundation for the rest of our lives. But of course, you can't stay there. Next comes the childhood stage of faith, where we start learning the basics. We begin to grasp who God is, what Jesus taught, and how to love others in real and everyday ways. Spiritually, this is a season where we're still leaning on others, right? Our parents, our pastors, teachers, mentors, but we're also starting to stretch our own spiritual muscles. Or it's that in-between space when borrowed faith starts to become a personal kind of faith. When what we've been told about God begins to turn into what we actually believe about God, or very simply put, this is where we start moving from they said it was true and I believe it, to now I'm starting to see it for myself. Then there's the teenage stage of faith. And as every parent knows, this one can be a little rough. But what I want you guys to keep in mind here is we're talking stages of faith. So this can happen at different points. You can be a teenager in your faith and be 80 years old. You can be a baby in your faith and be 80 years old. So this is not just time stuff. This is how this kind of stuff develops. So this is the point in faith development where we all begin to wrestle with our own identity, independence, and belonging. It's a season where we start asking big questions like, who am I really in Christ? What do I actually believe about all of this? And what kind of person do I want to become? Who is God calling me to be? Which, of course, is a stage that also includes a whole lot of doubt and wrestling, because what happens in this part of development is spiritual teenagers begin to rebel. They start fighting back against their spiritual mentors and parents in all to try to find their own way, or all to try to start to figure out who God is calling them to be specifically. And yet again, at this point in faith development, this is not failure. This is not a bad thing, although it's not easy for anyone involved on this deal. It's just a part of the process of growing up, or this is what it looks like to develop spiritually throughout the years. Which then finally gets us to adult faith. And this is where spiritual maturity finally starts to show up, but not in how much you know, but in how deeply you love. Because adult faith isn't just about having all the answers. It's about being shaped by the Spirit. It's about living according to the way of Jesus rather than being ruled by emotion, ego, or the flesh. It's when your faith stops being something that's just about you getting what you need. You're not trying to get fed anymore, and it starts being about feeding and serving others. Or maybe to give you a picture of this. Mature believers, they serve without needing the spotlight. They can disagree with others while continuing to love. They show up for people in need. They're steady, grounded, and dependable as the kind of folks others naturally turn to for strength in prayer. Or in other words, spiritual maturity isn't about knowing the Bible from cover to cover. It's about becoming a living example of what's inside. Think about that for a moment, right? It's not knowing the Bible from cover to cover. It's about becoming a living example of what's inside of it. That's what it means to be mature. But now that you get a sense of what spiritual development looks like, the other thing you need to understand about how all this works is that this kind of development doesn't happen overnight. No, this takes time, it takes devotion, and it takes a whole lot of patience. Or just like it takes children years to grow up into their adult shape, form, all that kind of stuff. Spiritual maturity is a process that happens throughout our lives where we devote ourselves more and more to being faithful followers of Jesus, with the ultimate goal, of course, being or becoming the kind of people that God has created us to be, or where we live into the extraordinary lives that God has created us for. And yet, I think to really grasp the brilliance of what Paul is teaching here in a way that you already know, the way that you've already lived, we've got to take one of those trips down memory lane. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take a moment and think back to who you were before Christ. What shaped your values? What shaped your choices? And what gave meaning to your life back then? Next, what I want you to do is to remember what happened to you after you gave your life to Jesus. How something within you began to shift. How grace started to break through the surface, and how you started to see yourself and the world in vastly different ways. Now fast forward just a few more years into following Christ and think about the kind of believer you were then. Maybe you were passionate still, maybe a little intense, seeing things black and white as you were trying to make sense of how to live out your life faithfully. And now what I want you to do is to jump ahead to where you are right now. Notice how much has changed. Not just in what you believe, but in how you live. How you love, and how you handle the struggles that life continues to throw your way. Well, what that puts into perspective in a way that you have lived, in a way that you know, is that faith isn't a static thing. It's not something that stands still. It grows, it matures as God transforms us slowly but surely into the people that look more and more like Jesus with every single step. And all because faith isn't just about believing the right things. We make a lot on believing the right things, and that's important. It's also about becoming the right kind of person. It's about living this faith out every single day. And yet, we're still not done with what this paradigm has to teach us. Because when you think about it, if spiritual development really is like human development, then there's something else very, very important we've got to recognize as we all go through this process. And that is this. Growing up in faith isn't easy. Growing up in faith isn't easy. I mean, how many of you can you imagine going back to your teenage years and doing that all over again? Anybody want to sign up for that? No, nobody wants to sign up for that. And yet, that's exactly what you should expect as you continue to grow and develop in your faith, in that it's not going to be easy. Again, it's not going to be easy, so stop chasing those warm and fuzzy moments thinking that that's what spiritual growth feels like, because most of the time, spiritual growth doesn't feel like that. No, growth usually feels more like stretching, like God pulling and shaping you in ways that can hurt. And the reason that's the case is because what's really happening here is the Spirit of God has come into your life and is transforming you from the inside out, shaping and molding you beyond your selfish and sinful ways towards a life that looks more and more like Jesus, or a life where you truly do begin to love God with everything that you are and your neighbor as yourself. Or when you think about it, it's kind of like training to be an athlete, in that no one wakes up one day and says, I'm going to go run a marathon. It doesn't happen that way. No, it takes time, it takes work, it takes discipline and commitment and a whole lot of sore muscles. But the payoff is who you become and what you're able to accomplish when you give yourself to this. Well, the same is true for your faith, right? It takes time, it takes perseverance, it takes daily dedication to become a spiritual adult or to become the person that God created you to be. Which, by the way, as your pastor, is something that I'm still working on myself. In fact, if I can get really honest with you, at this point, I'm not real sure that I've even earned the right to sit at the spiritual adult table just yet. Anybody else know what I'm talking about there? But I still show up, plate in hand, trying to get there. And yet, even with all of that being true, the amazing thing about this paradigm or about this understanding of faith development that Paul has kind of unfolded here is that this same logic doesn't just teach us about how we should be living our lives, how we should be doing our things. No, when you think about it, it also gives us a method for how we treat and care for others. Because just like in human development, we're all at different stages along the process of growth. No one's at the exact same point. The same is true of spiritual development, which means you can't expect a baby Christian to think, act, or understand like someone who's been following Jesus for decades. And for those of you who are a little further along in your faith journey, you can't expect someone newer to the faith to see what you see and do what you do because they're not there yet, which, by the way, is okay. In fact, it's a good thing because it's just the way it works. Or maybe to see how this plays out practically. Every time I lead a Bible study or teach on a topic that I know might stir up a little controversy, I always start in the same way. Before we even open the text, before we even begin, I have everyone take a moment and walk back through their own spiritual journeys, just like we did a little bit earlier. I ask them to think about how different they are today than who they used to be, and then to remember how long it has taken them to get where they are today. Because once you do that, or once you stop to look at your own story, you start to realize something very, very important in a visceral kind of way, in a way that you can feel, the way that you understand. We're all at different places on the journey. We're all at different places on the journey. And that means different opinions don't automatically make someone a heretic. Or it doesn't even mean they're less faithful. No, it just means most of the time, they're at a different stage of faith development. So instead of condemning, instead of raising our voices every time someone gets something wrong, what we need to do is to give space and grace, or the time they need to grow into the people that God has created them to be. Because again, it's just how it works. You can disagree with it. You can be mad about it. But it's just the way it works. But then to take all of that even further, I also think this is something that we have to keep in mind, not just when dealing with Christians, but when it comes to how we treat everyone, even non-believers, even people who don't belong to the church. Because just like we know that we have to treat babies and kids and teenagers differently, giving them room to grow, to make mistakes, and to figure out who they are, I think the same is true when it comes to other people and where they're at in life. Which ultimately means becoming the people who are not quick to condemn, but the kind of people like Paul is doing here that are quick to help and guide and lead, understanding where people are at spiritually. Which I believe means that we are all being called to become a people who are really, really good at meeting people where they are, accepting them just as they are, and then walking with them as they continue to take their own journey, as they continue to grow in their faith. Because if we want to be the kind of church community, the kind of church that truly reflects Jesus, then what that looks like is we've got to be patient with the process of growth and spiritual development, both in others and in ourselves. Because not only is that what it looks like to do church and do it well, but I also think it's what it looks like to be a genuine follower of Jesus in our everyday lives. Or maybe to give you guys a little bit more on this. So let's just say you're coming to a church for the first time. And you want to come in, you want to feel loved, you want to be accepted, but all of that kind of stuff. So what happens if you walk into a church and right away you get judged? Right away you start to see things differently than they do, and so they say, well, you're not at our place, you can't be a part of that. What do people do in those moments? Are you going to stick around in that place? So what is God calling us to do as a people who not only come into this church, but to welcome anybody that we come into contact with? Grace, mercy, love, looking out, not condemning people, but understanding that they're probably not in the same place that we are. And so instead of condemning, we try to help. Instead of pushing people away, we draw them closer to see if we can't help them go to that next phase. I really do believe that what Paul is saying here is absolutely brilliant. Not only do we need to grow up in our faith, and this is something that we work out our entire lives, right? And you got to give yourself to it. You got to read scripture. You got to pray. You got to come to church. You got to do Bible studies, all those kind of things. But at the exact same time, you also have to give grace. You have to give room for other people to learn and to develop and to grow just like you got the opportunity to do throughout your life. And if we can become a church like that, if we can become a people like that, I guarantee you, people will walk into this place as they have for years now and find a home and find a place where they're not going to be judged but allowed the space to grow and develop and to thrive. As we continue to give ourselves to becoming more mature in our faith or becoming the church that God has called us to be. Let us pray. Father, again, we come before you so grateful for this incredible book of Corinthians that walks us through what it means to do church and do it well in spite of our messiness. And so today, oh Lord, help us to take seriously this idea of spiritual development. Help us to understand that not everybody is going to be in the same place. Not everybody is going to see the world in the same way, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a part of the process. So help us not to be the condemning type, those who look down on others because they don't see the world the way we do. Help us to be the kind of people who give room for growth and development, and the people who are quick to show up to help those people who are in their early stages begin to live into the life that is truly life, or begin to grow into the faith that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, we ask all of this in your name and for our sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.